Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and to introduce our lesson, we want to read our Lord's words that are recorded in verse 15. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." This morning we studied a number of passages that teach us what we need to know about giving in worship. And we pointed out that God's people are to give as God has prospered us. God's people are to give as we have purposed in our hearts. God's people are to give bountifully. And God's people are to give cheerfully. Those are some of the points that are made in the New Testament concerning giving in worship. But we have to understand that there are certain obstacles that just might prevent us from following those instructions. And this evening, for a little while, we want to concentrate our attention on one particular obstacle that Jesus warned his followers against in the verse that we just read a moment ago. And that obstacle is covetousness, which is also known as greed. Now we know God's will. We covered it this morning concerning giving in worship. We have certain obligations and certain responsibilities that the Lord wants us to fulfill. But we need to understand that there just are certain obstacles that may prevent us from following those instructions. Well, we need to know what those obstacles are and face them with the Lord's help. Jesus warned against a very serious subject in Luke 12 and verse 15. Well, as I've often said, if we're going to talk about something, we need to know what we're talking about. So let's be sure that we understand what covetousness is. Let's give a definition. Covetousness may be defined as a greedy desire for more and more of what the world has to offer. Covetous may also be defined as the love of money or the love of possessions. Now, Jesus gave an illustration of covetousness in the verses that follow the one that we just read a few moments ago. Let's continue at verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. We've already read the Lord's warning in verse 15. He went ahead to present a parable. Parables are illustrations. They help us understand important spiritual lessons. So Jesus gave a warning against covetousness in verse 15. He went on to present a parable to make sure that his audience understood exactly what he was referring to. Verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Here's a man who's been blessed abundantly, but all he was concerned about was collecting more, more, more. Did you notice how many times the word I and my are found? He was concerned about himself. Do you find any mention of God? Do you find any mention of the man's fellow man? None whatsoever. He was only concerned about how much he had. That is an illustration of covetousness. This man had a greedy desire for more and more of what the world has to offer. He suffered from the love of money and the love of possessions. Well, I believe we understand what covetousness is, but we need to understand that the Bible clearly teaches God's people to avoid it in no uncertain terms. Let's look at several passages. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Now that word of instruction was given to Christians, and although there are several sinful items mentioned here, we're especially concerned with covetousness. And the Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. He said, "Let it not be once named among you." In other words, it's to be avoided. Let's look at Colossians 3 and read verse 5. Colossians 3 and verse 5 says, "Mortify," and that word mortify means to put something to death. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Covetousness is listed with some other sinful activities that are to be mortified. That is, God's people are to avoid it. And let's look at Hebrews 13 and read verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The word conversation, as it is used in this passage, refers to our manner of life. And notice that our manner of life is to be without covetousness. That's another way of saying that God's people are to avoid it. Over and over again, the scriptures teach God's people to avoid covetousness. But why are these instructions directed to Christians? They're all addressed to people who have become members of the body of Christ. Well, the truth is, anyone, including God's people, can be affected by covetousness. You know, when I think about wise men in the Bible, Solomon is probably the first to come to mind. He was a very wise man. For a time, at least, he surpassed all the people on the earth with wisdom. But even Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was affected by covetousness. He got caught up in it. Now let's turn to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and let's let Solomon tell us about his experience. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's start at verse 4. Now remember that Solomon was the son of David. After David passed away, Solomon became the king of Israel, and God blessed him abundantly. At the beginning of his reign as king, God appeared to him and asked him what he would like to have. And Solomon demonstrated great wisdom as a young man. He said, "Give your servant a wise and understanding heart that he will be able to judge his people." God was pleased with that request, and God said that he would grant him great wisdom. But in addition to wisdom, he would bless him with wisdom and honor and riches. And God did so. Solomon had so much gold that silver was not even counted as anything. Now that's a wealthy man, isn't it? You read about the income that Solomon had, and it's just mind-boggling. He was a king, and he collected tariffs and taxes from individuals. He had a lot of money coming in. Solomon was very wealthy. But he's going to tell us in these verses how he got caught up in covetousness. Ecclesiastes 2, let's start at verse 4. "I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Notice how many times I and me are mentioned. Sound like someone else that we've already read about, doesn't it? I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is a rather challenging book. Solomon is writing about his experiences and his search for happiness. He tried to find happiness in many different ways. For a time, he got caught up in covetousness. He had a greedy desire for more and more of what the world offers. Did it bring him any happiness? His conclusion was, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Now, if Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, can get caught up in covetousness, guess who else it can happen to? Well, let's look at some others who did. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. And we want to consider why Jesus gave his very strong warning that we read in verse 15. According to Luke chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, there were two brothers who had problems with covetousness. Luke 12, verses 13 and 14. Now keep in mind, Jesus is teaching, and he's dealing with some very important matters. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be present to hear Jesus speak these wonderful words? Verse 13 says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Now here we read about two brothers who had a problem. One brother did not want to share the inheritance with the other brother. Now, what do we conclude from that? Well, we conclude that one man kept what belonged to his brother. He certainly suffered from covetousness. But then the other man showed that he had a problem with covetousness because he tried to get the Lord involved in that situation. It just appears that he interrupted Jesus while he was teaching and wanted him to get involved in that situation. Well, Jesus responded by saying that he did not come for that purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to get involved in being a judge in such matters. Others could take care of that. Now, these are two people that we read about in Luke chapter 12. In my judgment, both of them had a problem with covetousness. One man kept what belonged to his brother, and then the other man wanted to get the Lord involved in trying to settle that issue. And of course, Jesus did not come for that purpose. Now, the point that we want to make is that God's people are not immune to the effects of covetousness. Well, we need to consider very carefully those instructions that teach us to avoid it. We've already read those warnings, and we've read those instructions that teach us to avoid covetousness. Well, why is it so important for us to avoid covetousness? The Bible answers that question. And I'm sure there are other reasons, but let's take the time to look at three reasons. For one thing, the Bible teaches that covetousness will keep a person out of God's kingdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now those verses are very plain. They describe people who have no interest in serving the Lord. Included are the covetous. Well, when the Bible says that people in these categories cannot inherit the kingdom of God, does that mean that there's no hope at all? No, thank the Lord for verse 11. And such were some of you. Now, this letter was written to the church in Corinth. Some of the people in that congregation had been caught up in some of those very same activities that we just read about in verses 9 and 10. Well, what happened? But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's the cure for sin right there. To be washed, to be sanctified, and to be justified. In Acts chapter 18, we read about the gospel going to the city of Corinth. It was preached there, and according to verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. At that point, they were washed, sanctified, and justified, members of the kingdom of God. But we need to understand that covetous people will not be among those who inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and read verse 5. The same message is presented using different words. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says, For this you know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This passage also teaches us that covetous people will not be among those who inherit the kingdom of God. Now, during the Lord's ministry, He had some dealings with a man who had an obvious problem with covetousness. And he shows us how covetousness will keep a person out of God's kingdom. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 and read about the Lord's dealing with a young man referred to as the rich young ruler. He's mentioned several times in the gospel accounts, but we want to look at what Luke recorded. Luke chapter 18, we will start at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, that is Jesus, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now he was seeking something very special, wasn't he? He went to the right source. He went to the one who could give him eternal life. Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Now keep in mind that the law of Moses was in effect at that time. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. I'd say that man had a lot going for him, wouldn't you? He had kept the commandments found in the law of Moses from the time he was just a young man. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and give distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now the Lord knew what this young man's problem was. By the way, I've mentioned this several times, and I've read this for years without actually taking the time to look at the Ten Commandments specifically and go over them. I knew where they were located in the Old Testament. I'd read them many times. But when Jesus listed out the commandments to this man, he didn't mention anything about not coveting your neighbor's possessions. Jesus knew what this young man's problem was when he came to him. Therefore, he said, I've kept all these commandments from the time I was just a young man. Well, Jesus did not mention the one that talked about coveting your neighbor's possessions. He had a lot going for him. But Jesus knew there was an idol in his heart, and he had to eliminate that idol. So the Lord called upon him to eliminate it. What was his response? Verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This young man illustrates to us how covetousness will keep one out of God's kingdom. He wasn't willing to pay the price that the Lord required of him. Consequently, he left filled with sorrow. Over the years, I've tried to picture this young man coming to the Lord. And Mark's account, I believe, says he came running to Jesus. Mark's account also says that Jesus beheld him and loved him. The Lord knew that he had potential, but he was going to have to eliminate that idol that was in his heart. He wasn't willing to do that. Consequently, he wouldn't follow Jesus. Now let's not overlook what happened to the rich man in the Lord's parable. We already read the parable. Let's go back to Luke chapter 12. And let's read verses 20 and 21. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So this is one reason why covetousness must be avoided. Covetousness will keep a person out of the kingdom of God. Now that's a good reason to avoid it, isn't it? Let's consider another reason. The Bible teaches that covetousness leads to evil. Well, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This verse teaches us that the love of money is very serious. It's the root or the cause of all kinds of evil. And covetousness has caused some to err from the faith. It has also caused some to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. If you have any questions about that, just think about Judas Iscariot. One of the Lord's chosen apostles. Now, John, in his gospel, informs us that Judas had a problem. You see, he was the treasurer of the group. The Bible says he had the bag, that is, he carried the funds for the Lord and the apostles. And apparently, he liked to dip his hand into the treasury because John identified him as a thief. John didn't beat around the bush. Now, he was writing after the fact, so John knew all that went on. He identified Judas as a thief. But Judas is the one who went to the religious leaders of the Jews and made a covenant to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The religious leaders were glad that Judas approached them. For years, I tried to figure out exactly what happened in all of that, and it took me a while to finally see it. You see, the religious leaders were familiar with Jesus and his teaching, But they didn't know his personal habits, where he went, and what he did. They needed someone on the inside. Judas shows up, and he makes an agreement to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. That's why Judas led the soldiers and the others out to where Jesus was at night so they could take him into custody. Judas knew the Lord's travelings. He knew his habits and what he did, where he went, and the people he was around. Well, now Judas regretted what he did. He tried to return the money. That couldn't be done. He was in such a state of misery that he went out and hung himself. I believe Judas illustrates what 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 is all about. The love of money is the root or the cause of all kinds of evil. It has caused some to err from the faith. It caused one of the Lord's apostles to betray him. And covetousness has caused some to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Now, covetous can lead to other forms of evil that may not be as drastic as what happened to Judas. But the Bible informs us that covetousness leads to evil. I can remember many years ago that my father had a sister whose husband had passed away before she did. He owned a lot of property in Jacksonville. Of course, they had no children, so the wife had control of all that property. Well, she passed away. And my daddy had a large family. And I saw it with my own eyes that that family that had been so close at one time basically split into two groups over who was going to get the proceeds from that particular life that ended. I saw my own daddy's family torn apart. And I made myself a vow at that time, and I was just a young fella. But I made myself a vow that no possession or thing that this world has to offer is worth going through all of that. Now, my dad and two other brothers tried to take a reasonable approach to it and settle the matter through the legal system because they had no children. So the brothers and sisters, the siblings, would have been heirs to what they had. And it was a sizable amount of property. But I saw my daddy's family torn apart. And that had a rather drastic effect on me at a young age. I determined at that point that nothing that this world has to offer is worth going through all of that. Covetousness leads to evil. I saw some of my aunts get together and say things about others that they shouldn't have said, and stories were told, and just all kinds of heartache. So when the Bible says that covetousness will lead to evil, that's right, you can count on that. But then there's another reason, a third reason, why covetousness must be avoided. And that's because the Lord wants us to learn contentment. Let's look at verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is just the opposite of covetousness. And notice that the Lord wants us to learn it. I don't necessarily believe that a child comes into this world knowing all that he needs to know about contentment. He has to learn it. We all have to learn it. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. Well, these are three reasons why covetousness must be avoided. Covetousness will keep a person out of God's kingdom. Covetousness will lead to evil. And the Lord wants us to learn contentment. Now, covetousness is one of those activities that it's easy to see in other people. But remember, this was a lesson I was taught many years ago. I'll pass it on to you. Whenever I point a finger at somebody else, there are three pointing back at me. It hurts to do self-examination, but the Bible teaches us to do that. Oh, it's easy to see faults in others, but the Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. Covetousness is one of those things. It's easy to see in other people, but detecting it in self is a different matter. Well, it's painful to go through examination, but it's for our good. Well, covetousness is a very serious matter, and we would do well to remember these principles that we've studied. And as we close, let's consider something that Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Covetousness is a very effective tool that Satan will try to use to destroy people. Just after Jesus was baptized, at the end of Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 4, he was led out into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days by the evil one. And Satan did his best to try to get Jesus to do what he wanted him to do. And one of the temptations involved Satan giving Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and everything that they had to offer. All Jesus had to do was fall down and worship him, and Satan would give him that. Jesus is familiar with the temptation of covetousness, but he withstood it. And with his help, we can withstand it as well, and we must. Well, it's a very serious matter. I'm afraid sometimes it's just basically overlooked. But covetousness, as we have seen, is a very important matter. You see, our soul is the very most precious possession that we have. And the welfare of our soul deserves our utmost attention. Because if we lose our soul, anything that we might have gained of a material nature will not matter at all. It's my prayer that God will help us to recognize covetousness and shun it with all of our being. Once again, it's easy to see in other people, but examining ourselves is what the Lord wants us to do. Well, this is a very important matter, a very serious matter, not necessarily a pleasant matter, but covetousness is one thing, one obstacle that can, I said can, keep people from following the Lord's instructions that relate to giving and worship. We need to recognize it, understand how serious it is, and avoid it. The Lord will bless us in return. It's interesting that after Jesus had those dealings with the rich young ruler and then gave that very serious warning about how challenging it was for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God, the apostle says, well, who can be saved? I can almost see the apostles putting up their hands and the expressions on their faces when they said that. they seem to be thinking like this: if a rich man can't make it, then how can there be any hope for the rest of us? Well, that's looking at things in the wrong way. And Jesus would take difficult situations and turn them into teaching opportunities. Those things have been recorded, and we can profit from the Lord's instructions. It was in that context that Jesus said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Over the years, I've known a few wealthy men who were very generous. The Lord was pleased with, I believe, with their sacrifices and their generosity. It's not wrong to be wealthy. The Lord blesses us with the things that we have. But it just comes down to, are we in control of our possessions, or are our possessions in control of us? That's what we need to think about. And you know, a poor man can suffer from covetousness just as much as a rich man. Satan tries to use covetousness to accomplish his will. But with the Lord's help, it can and it must be overcome. Being a member of God's eternal kingdom is a great and special blessing. It involves making sacrifices. And we understand from our study of the scriptures that covetousness will keep someone out of God's kingdom. Therefore, we must shun it like the plague. God help us to do that.